Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. We are on the eve of Charles Martin versus Anthony Joshua for the IBF Heavyweight Championship of the World. Bunce is here to look at that fight, the undercard, and of course the small matter of, I can't believe, Bunce, that Manny Pacquiao is playing second fiddle to a potential heavyweight champion from Britain. Good news. It's going to be an exciting weekend, isn't it?
It's a great big weekend. And in all fairness, one or two of the undercard fights, especially one of the undercard fights on the Manny Pacquiao bill, would be enough to get us excited. What we've got, it's an amazing weekend, a real collection of odds, you know, of bits and pieces, a real collection of people getting a bit of a lucky break and some, thankfully, getting an unlucky break.
Yeah, before we get on to the weekend fights, the news announced today that Tyson Fury versus Vladimir Klitschko has been made 9th of July in Manchester. That's kind of that's the weekend of the Euro 2016 final. It could be an unbelievable sporting weekend, and great that it's in the UK.
Yeah, it is great because that means the third fight, they can toss a coin to see where it's going to go.
MGM Grand,
I see them having a third fight. I mean, who's to say that Klitschko won't have woken up from the stupor from the last fight and nick a decision? Equally, if Fury thinks he's going to walk through him, which he does, I can't understand why Klitschko's taking it. You know, Klitschko must have known something in the build-up to the first fight. And I'm convinced of that. Fury won the first fight. It was a brilliant event, fantastic victory, one of the greatest victories by a British boxer overseas. But Vlad was a shadow of himself. What if a different Vlad shows up? That's what I'm talking. It's a third fight. You know what would be really nice? If it's outside at one of the Manchester football stadiums, wouldn't it be nice if I know, 20,000 tickets were priced reasonably, like they do in Germany, at something like the equivalent of 20 quid? Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah, would be very nice indeed.
20,000 tickets at 20 quid, Bosh. Let's deal with the rest.
Let's have a look at this weekend. We're going to talk about... let's do Pacquiao first, shall we? Then we can get onto that big bill. Like I said, it's pretty amazing that you know, a few years ago, we'd have been talking about Pacquiao as being the main fight this weekend. As it is, we've got this British fight to look forward to. And we don't know how long Pacquiao's going to go on for, Buncey, do we? We've seen he's kind of fallen out of public favour to a certain extent recently. And he's got this fight where you'd have thought, well, what kind of fight, if this is his last fight, what does he want to go out on? You know, this is one of the... I'm just kind of staggered by this fight happening again. I mean, this is like the least anticipated trilogy of all time.
It is the least anticipated big trilogy.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right about it. A fight that's generated an awful lot of money and an awful lot of controversy, especially after the first fight in 2012 when Bradley got a split decision and no one really thought he won. Second fight was a little bit closer. Pacquiao got that decision, and I think deservedly so. And bizarrely, I think that Bradley goes into this as a slight favourite. I'm not sure where Manny Pacquiao is. I mean, he hasn't fought since that disastrous performance against Floyd Mayweather, what was that, 9-10 months ago. You know, his eyes are on politics. His eyes are on this, that, and the other. He took his eye off the ball when he said one or two things that seemed to have incensed people. He was attacked, I think, in a car park in Los Angeles a couple of days ago. And I'm not sure where he is. Freddie Roach has insisted he doesn't want this to be the last fight. He wants there to be more fights. Well, I'm not quite sure what Manny Pacquiao's fighting for. He made a fortune in the Mayweather fight. He's got nothing to redeem himself in a fight with Bradley. It just generates an awful lot of money. And I think there's just a chance that this could be a bit of a shock. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Bradley gets this. I really wouldn't. I'm not sure what Manny Pacquiao's motivation is. I know what Bradley's motivation is. He's finally saying, listen, give me some respect. He's the one that had the death threats, remember, when he beat Pacquiao first time.
Yeah. 4-9 Pacquiao to win this, 20-1 the draw. Timothy Bradley is priced up at 15-8, so just short of 2-1 for a Bradley win. The method of result, Pacquiao by stoppage is 4-1, Bradley by stoppage 13-2, Bradley by decision is 11-4, and Pacquiao by decision is 5-6. So there's a little bit of value on, I mean, even the five, if you fancy Pacquiao and the decision, then the 5-6 isn't the worst price of all time. We've got loads of other markets and the grouped round betting and all the rest of it. If Bradley wins, he has to go the distance, yeah.
If Bradley wins, it's points. And I'd say that drawn verdict's not bad. Bear in mind, there's always seems to be one judge who's got his medication wrong on a day in Las Vegas and comes up with something that no one else has seen. So hey ho. So trust me, if you only need one of them and it's a bit tight, It's a bit all over the place, this fight. It's a strange old fight. It's sort of under the radar, and it's strange and it's odd, as you said. Yeah. I just got a feeling Bradley might nick it.
Interesting. Yeah, Pacquiao's 66th fight, this one, for the WBO International Welterweight title. Let's turn our attention to the UK then, shall we, Buncey? The undercard, there's some, you mentioned at the start of the podcast, there's some interesting fights on the undercard. A lot of the odds are very short for these fights. The likes of George Groves versus David Brophy, 1-33 Groves. We have got extended betting on them all. We've got Lee Selby, 1-7 to beat Eric Hunter, who's 9-2. I suppose the most interesting one, Jamie McDonnell as well, is 1-50 to beat Fernando Vargas, by the way, in a world title fight.
Ouch.
Brian Rose v Matt Macklin is, you know, that's a lot closer. 4-6 Brian Rose, Matt Macklin 6-5, the draw 22-1. First of all, I guess, is the question of all those short ones, can you see an upset before we look at Rose Macklin?
I can't really see an upset, although Vargas has got nothing to prove. The guy that's fighting the massive outsider against Jamie McDonald, and it's a change of opponent, and it was only announced 2 weeks ago. Then another opponent, you know, the original fight was announced 2 weeks ago, then that opponent fell through. So you've always got the element of surprise. You've always got that element of underestimation. So that's quite an interesting one. Eric Hunter can fight a bit, the guy that's fighting Lee Selby. But the problem Eric Hunter's got is that Lee Selby can fight a lot. I can see that one being a little bit closer than those odds suggest. But Brophy and Groves, no. I mean, just as a measure here, I'll just give you a little line on Brophy and Groves. Last September, George Groves was fighting for the WBC super middleweight title at the MGM Garden, the chief support to Floyd Mayweather's last fight. The same month, just a few days later, Dave Brophy was fighting at a leisure centre in Edinburgh against Nick Blackwell's brother, Dan, who lost for the 57th time in 63 fights.
Wow.
There's a form guide, darling. One guy lost a split decision 12 rounds in at the MGM, and one guy inflicted the 56th defeat on a guy over six rounds. So, you know, that's your form guide. So George Groves should take handy care of Dave Brophy. I'd be, in all fairness, I think George would be upset if it goes more than about four or five rounds.
All right, well,
Dave's game enough to go for it.
Yeah, Groves in rounds 4-6 is 11-4. Groves just by stoppage is 1-4, so I got a lot better than the 1-33. I know it's a short price, but it's not bad if we're sticking an acid together with that 1-4. Groves going to stop him.
Groves will stop him.
Yeah.
He has to stop him, to be perfectly honest. That's no disrespect to Dave Brophy.
No.
Lee Selby might get to Hunter, but I wouldn't be surprised if that goes 12. And McDonald, in theory, should stop Vargas. I mean, he has to stop Vargas. When you're 1-50, you've got to stop the man. It's as simple as that. And I'm being nice. You know, let's not mince our words. We've got 12 world champions, and some of them are not. Some of them are anonymous. And if we've got a world champion who's 1-50 and he doesn't stop his opponent, he's going to remain anonymous. That's just a brutal, hard, harsh factly.
What about Macklin Rose? And this one's for the vacant IBF Rose Intercontinental Middleweight title. These are two very popular fighters, Buncey. Both tasted what it's like to have a defeat. It's three stoppages on Brian Rose and Macklin. I mean, you know, he's just we've seen him in some really big fights, haven't we? And he said he'll retire if he doesn't win this one.
Well, in all fairness, I think he's got to retire if he doesn't win this one. And Rose not necessarily has to retire because I think he's had a slightly easier career. But you're not sure where this loser goes. So forget the belt on display. What this is about is survival in the business at this level. Because the way the business works, the winner of this fight will end up getting some kind of world title fight, interim or regular title somewhere. That's just the realities. Here's two guys who know each other. They've got all sorts of similarities in shared cornermen and gym times. A lot of pride at stake in this. It's just a pity it wasn't taking place somewhere in Digbeth or somewhere in Blackpool in front of about 2,000 devoted fans. I'm hoping, because I'm hearing this is going to be taking place at 7 o'clock, which is very early, in an arena where, you know, 4,000 people can eat and drink in the pubs and restaurants. And it's a real pity that a fight this good is lost on a very good bill. Not a criticism of anybody, by the way. It's just a pity it's lost, because there's so much at stake here. I fancy Macklin just to come through, but I'll be absolutely honest with you. Both of them are past their best. They're both, the winner will go on to do something, but you know, no one needs to be fooled or kidded. What, this is a terrific fight. I just wish the British title was at stake, and I wish it was at a smaller venue in front of a devoted 2,000. I fancy Macklin. It wouldn't surprise me if he stops him, but I think Macklin on points is would be my choice.
Yeah, fair enough. The price for Macklin to win just on his anyway is 6-5. Macklin on points is priced up at 3-1, so not a bad little price that. Let's have a chat about Charles Martin, the IBF heavyweight title holder, against Anthony Joshua Buncey. We've been waiting for this moment for, well, not as long as we thought we would. The 16th fight of Anthony Joshua's career, and he's got this world heavyweight title tilt. The stars have aligned in a way, because obviously most people will know Charles Martin won the title by obviously no fault of his own, thanks to Vyacheslav Glazkov's injury in the ring. But
He was winning the fight.
So, you know, Charles Martin holding that belt, comes over here, earning more money than he's ever earned before. Looks like a...
20 times more money than he's ever been paid. 20 times!
We know all about Joshua, and we know what power he's got. We know that, you know, that I've watched that Dillian White fight again. I've watched it about 5 times. I just love that fight.
It's a good fight.
Great to watch again as well. Charles Martin, I mean, we've had the documentary, the Behind the Ropes documentary on Sky. Always interesting to watch those, Buncey, in case you can glean anything. The one thing I thought about Charles Martin was that he came across a little bit like a rabbit in the headlights, I thought. Like this is what it is. It's like he's gone from... I mean, you made that analogy about Brophy and Groves earlier in the podcast. There's a similar analogy here. I mean, this guy's been catapulted into the spotlight. Joshua's used to it. I mean, even in that documentary piece where he's doing his training... He's never done that training before. I'd be willing to bet good money that he's never, ever done training like that before. He doesn't look like he enjoys it. Normally you see those and they're kind of jumping up afterwards. He looked like he was out on his backside after he'd done that training.
Well, the thing is, he's never had to do that training before, because 6 months ago, he's one of about 10 or so heavyweights in America. Guys like Gerald Washington, Dominic Brazil, who beat him back in 2012. These guys are all unbeaten. They're all sort of semi-untested, but they're slowly working their way closer to something. And he was fortunate when the IBF, based in New Jersey, decided to strip Tyson Fury because of Fury's refusal to fight a man called Glazkov, who you mentioned, who's managed and promoted by a company based in New Jersey. So these two companies got together. You know, there's nothing illegal about it. The main events lobbied the company, lobbied the IBF, said, our man's Glazkov, Tyson Fury's got X amount of days to agree to this fight, or we've got to take his title. Tyson Fury said, listen, stick it up where the sun doesn't shine. I'm not fighting Glazkov. I've got a rematch with Vladimir Klitschko planned. We just talked about that. I'm going to make X amount of money. Why do I need to fight Glazkov? There's no money in the fight. It means nothing. So he gave up one of his three belts. He was taken away from him, or he gave it up, depending on who you talk to. And then Glazkov and his promotional company, they had a problem. They've got a guy in the mandatory position. They've got a belt they can win, but they've got to find an opponent. And they literally went, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And they looked at it and they thought, Charles Martin will do. Because there's nothing spectacular in his record. There's nothing in his record at that point to say this guy needs to be avoided. Okay, he was biggish, you know, for a heavyweight, 6'5", 6'6", 18 stone. But he wasn't in the greatest of shape. He hadn't beaten the greatest of people. He had a draw against a fat Mexican who was about 28 stone, for God's sake. And that wasn't a million years ago. So they picked Martin, and the fight itself didn't work out for Glazkov. He looked petrified. Martin, big, tall guy, kept hitting him with a southpaw jab, kept catching him with all sorts of different shots, and eventually went over from a bad knee, but he got caught a couple of times as well. So suddenly Martin, from being absolutely not on anybody's radar, here's a thing for you. Before January of this year, when Martin was already matched for the world title, I guarantee you can do a massive search of every single newspaper in this country, in Britain, and you won't find a mention of Charles Martin. He was so far off the radar. That's the truth. No one was talking about him on TV or on radio. We talked about him, obviously, because we had him twice on Box Nation. So I was watching him, and I wasn't saying when I watched him beat Tom Dazzle, this guy's dangerous, he's going to win the world title. I was saying, oh, cool, this is another good heavyweight, fantastic. Another one to add to the list, a big list, by the way. So he gets to fight against Glazkov, does the business against Glazkov, and then, and this is what's amazing, in what will be 94 days, it will be if he loses the title, it'll be 94 days, which will become the second shortest reign in heavyweight history. He finds himself fighting Joshua for a minimum of $5 million US, which is 20 times what he officially got for fighting Glasgow. He had to take the fight. And Rabbit in Headlights, you are right. However, he's young in heavyweight years. He's relatively dangerous in the fact he's knocked over the guys he's meant to knock over. And he's a southpaw. And Joshua hasn't fought a southpaw since winning the Olympic title in August of 2012. So there are some fantastic elements to this fight. And if we just take the belt away, Lee, and we call this a 10-round international heavyweight fight, which is what we used to have, then Charles Martin against Anthony Joshua is a brilliant fight for the pair of them at this stage in their career. And if that was the case, Charles Martin would be coming here and he'd probably be getting about £300,000. So he's had an absolute result with a world title. He's had an absolute result getting this fight. I just don't think he's going to get the result he wants when he gets in the ring with Joshua, who's done nothing wrong. Joshua's never going to fight Fury in April of this year. He was never going to fight Hay in April of this year. He was never going to fight Klitschko or Povetkin or Deontay Wilder in April of this year. But he could have always fought a man like Charles Martin. The fact that there's a belt at stake just clouds the issue. It's a terrific heavyweight fight. The belt's a bonus.
Yeah, we haven't really got time in this podcast to talk about the aftermath should he win, because it's going to maybe rush him along a little bit too much. But what about the? I mean, we've got loads of markets here, Buncey. William Hill is sponsoring the whole card, of course, and we've got more markets on this than I've seen for a long time for any fight, British or not, fighter. So, what are you thinking about? What's going to happen here? A lot of people are saying that when Joshua connects, we could see Martin go very early, and Joshua usually connects early, doesn't he? It doesn't take him long to find a way through, usually, does it?
No, listen, Joshua's not going to go for 12 rounds. Martin's not going to go for 12 rounds. Martin might try and be cautious for a couple of rounds. I can't see it going past four, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if it lasted 60 seconds. Odd and stranger things have happened. Can Joshua get hit on the chin by a big left cross? Absolutely he can. Could Joshua get stopped if he gets hit? Absolutely he can. I just think that in the Joshua training camp, they've been working on getting hit. They've been working on getting hurt. I'm not quite sure there's the same amount of respect in the Charles Martin camp. I think they're, as you say, trapped in the headlights. That could be their nickname. Charles, trapped in the headlights, Martin. They can't believe their luck. They're getting a bit sort of overconfident in a sort of strange way. They're a little bit naive in the business. I fancy Joshua. I fancy him inside about four rounds.
Okay, so let's have a look at some of these then. Well, Joshua to win in the first 60 seconds is 11-1. Let me throw that out there.
Listen, I'll tell you what, that I fancy. I really fancy that little one.
Yeah. If you don't want to pick a fighter, early finish to the fight, so for it to end in the first three rounds, whatever happens, 7-4. That's just under 2-1 for your. That's just for the fight to end.
That's
so Joshua in rounds 1, 2, or 3 is 2-1. Joshua in round 1 is 8-1. Then you can have a look at there's all sorts of different rounds here, so you can have Joshua in rounds 1 and 2 4-1, Joshua in rounds 3 and 4 7-2, so you can get right down into you can pick your individual round, your two rounds, your three rounds, or you can even go if you want extra safety. And I think this is a cracking bet, Buncey, if you don't mind the slight odds on price for Joshua to win the fight in the first 6 rounds, 1-6, 8-13, and that's a good price. That's not a massive odds on price.
That is a great price. Martin doesn't know enough yet. He's not a cagey old American heavyweight. We're not, you know, this is not an old Shannon Briggs or an old Tim Witherspoon or one of those dozens of other heavyweights from the 80s and 90s. This is an inexperienced guy who doesn't have a lot of amateur pedigree, who doesn't have a lot of heart. He's got no hard 10-rounders against tough men on his record. He's naive. He'll go for it. He'll get caught. He'll throw back. And everything will go out of the window. He stands a little bit straight on. Joshua will catch him. And that inside 6-round bet's a good one.
Yeah,
Joshua wins.
Yeah, 75% of the bets that William Hill have taken have been on Martin KO. I think that's just purely because of the odds. But and he's been, you know, he was trading around, you know, 6-1 mark. He's 7-2 now. Joshua's getting bigger, 2-9. You know, I think there'll be a lot of people just on the 2-9.
Well, listen, let's get this right, Lee. If it does go 5 or 6 rounds, and if Martin's got that kind of stamina that, you know, he doesn't start to seize up, then he can get to him. And you remember, just before Joshua catches Dillian White in that last round, Joshua's looking stiff. He's looking awkward. He's trying to move back and be a bit fluid, but his movement's not that good. Then he catches Dillian behind the ear, and that leads eventually 20 seconds later, 20 punches later, to the knockout. Let's get that right. He suddenly looked a bit muscle-bound and a bit heavy. If Charles Martin can keep his hands up and hit Josh with enough jabs and get to round 5 or 6, he's not going to walk up to that same shot. Mm. Then we've got an interesting fight. I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
No. Whenever I think about this fight, I just see, and all respect to Charles Martin, Prince Charles Martin, but I just see Joshua landing a heavy shot, the legs going bandy and it being all... I think it's going to be very similar to some of his earlier fights when he's just blasted people out of there. So we will see, though. Hopefully we're not...
That's why fans like him.
Yeah.
Lee, that's why fans like him. You know, they like him because they know they can set their clock and in 10 minutes time they can go out.
Excellent, yeah. Funnily enough, I was watching some of the YouTube footage. I think the IFL TV did a piece with Joshua and Coogan Cassius was doing the interview as usual, and Joshua asked him how he thought it would finish, and he said, "I think you'll be done inside 4." And Joshua, quick as a flash, came back with, "Nice one. I could be in the club by 10:30 then." It was tongue in cheek, of course, but
was he?
Buncey, just before you go, there's loads of specials on the main page. Just one that I thought might catch your eye. I know you were looking at Bradley, but Joshua by stoppage, which is a big odds on price, and Pacquiao by decision is now priced up at 6-4. That's not a bad little double.
That is the most sensible bet I think we've done in 10 years.
Yeah, I think the 8-13
Joshua
looks
stoppage,
absent, but, yeah.
Joshua stoppage, Pacquiao points, bingo.
Yeah, there's a load of others on there. Selby, Joshua and Pacquiao to all win is 11-10. So that's the right side of even money for you. That was odds on. That was 4-5. That's been boosted to 11-10. So there's plenty of nice prices. Go to the boxing pages at williamhill.com. Pop into one of your shops. Go on the app. You'll find all the prices and all the build-up right across the weekend. Buncey, as ever, thanks for your time. Enjoy the weekend.
Lee, thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.